We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This hour of WEEI Late Night with Tyler Devitt is brought to you by Unified Office, helping restaurants maximize phone revenue at unifiedoffice.com.
This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI. Let's get it going. This is Late Night right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
That's right. This is WEEI Late Night. My name is Tyler Devitt here in this time slot. Once again, this is round number four for me, and happy to do it as always. Would love to do it on any night where I don't have to do OMF from like 8 a.m. duties until 6 p.m., 6:30, and then I leave here for an hour, go take a nap, and come right back. That's a long day for me. I'm not going to try and make it seem like I'm working, you know, 14 hours in a ditch somewhere. Justin Turpin across the glass there producing. Justin, what's going on, buddy? How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I don't mean to complain too much about being in this time slot because I will take any and all opportunities to host shows here on EEI, but I would love to do it on any night where I don't have to go home and nap in order to actually be here. So happy to be back for round number four in this time slot. I'm here until midnight. A lot of time to get your calls in at 617-779-7937 because I don't have any guests on the slate tonight. A completely open slate. I want to start with a laugh, but I want to set the table here real first. In the first segment, I want to get to some comments from bad sports analysts. Most of these guys are national, but later on in the show, I want to get to what is the biggest story in Boston sports for 2021 so far, because it is July 8th, and we are past the halfway point of 2021. So what is the biggest story in Boston sports so far, and what are we going to expect in the second half? Later on, I want to get to the N'Keal Harry trade and Ted Johnson absolutely losing his mind about it and making kind of like grand declarations about the state of the New England Patriots and the culture that Bill Belichick has built. And I didn't really like those comments that Ted Johnson had, and so we'll get to that coming up at 10:30. Later on in the hour, I'll get to some comments from Bill Simmons on Ime Udoka and just the continuous praise that we're getting about Ime Udoka. I haven't heard a bad word about the hire, about the person, about the coach. There literally has not been one negative thing. It's unbelievable. As somebody who tries to consume as much, you know, Twitter from fans, from blue check marks, I really haven't seen anything bad about Ime Udoka. That's, I wouldn't say it's concerning, but I'd like to hear of the other side of, you know, where, what is the negative? What is the downside to this? He's never had the experience in that platform as head coach in the NBA. So we'll get to that sound at 10:45. At 11 o'clock, we hit the home run derby. No Red Sox. And I thought what Alex Cora said today on OMF was actually really interesting. So we'll get to that at 11 o'clock. And some comments from Timmy Hires, JD Martinez. And also at 11:30, we'll have some fun and talk some boxing and MMA. You probably don't ever hear that on this station, but there's some big news with the Fury and Deontay Wilder round number three. That has been postponed because of a COVID, I wouldn't say a violation, but an outbreak with the Fury camp, and now Fury has it himself. Also, a blockbuster press conference about an hour ago between Conor McGregor and Dustin Poirier out in Vegas. I think Andy Grush is actually out there. So he may have actually been in the crowd yelling some obscenities after a few beers in Vegas. So I hope he's having a good time. But there's some really good audio we'll get to preview UFC 264. And then, of course, we have Nikita Kucherov and his post-game comments, which really outraged Keith Olbermann. I don't really know. He's outraged about everything on this earth, especially anything that Donald Trump says. Donald Trump could cure cancer, and Keith Olbermann would say, like, that's wrong. Delete him. Cancel him right now. So that is what's going on today. But I actually wanted to start the show with a laugh because I was trying to think about what is the big story to talk about. What is the story in Boston that people want to hear? And I didn't really sense there was one because with the Red Sox, they played yesterday and they lost. And of course, everyone's talking about E-Rod and whether he's trending up or trending down. Lou Maloney and Alex Cora believe he is trending up. So, I mean, that's kind of a story. It's not really sexy to start a show with. With the Celtics, I mean, I feel like this Brad Beal trade stuff, Justin, has been beaten to death. There isn't really a new angle on it. It's been going pretty much since the season ended because obviously the Celtics didn't have a good season and they flamed out and it wasn't really a good end in the playoffs that they lost in four or five games. The Nets made it a little bit interesting, but now everyone's trying to figure out what's the piece you add. And of course, Brad Beal is the first guy everyone talks about because he's the big brother to Jason Tatum. They're St. Louis boys. So I don't think the Brad Beal story is sexy to really start the show with. The Patriots, what do you want? You want to do another week one? Who starts? Cam Newton, Mac Jones debate? Like, no. I mean, the Bruins, there's no news there. So what are we going to start with, Justin? Let's start with a laugh. People love to laugh, and people love to crap on national sports analysts. And so this was a tweet that went viral actually last weekend, and it was from some account that had like 900 followers. It was from nobody. It wasn't even like, you know, Bleacher Report or ESPN or, you know, WEI. We weren't doing this. It was some random guy with no blue check mark. And it was simply, the tweet said, "Who's the worst sports analyst right now?" And there was four pictures, Justin. It was Kendrick Perkins, of course, a former Boston Celtic, Nick Wright, who hates the Boston Celtics, Skip Bayless, who loves Tom Brady, and Colin Cowherd, who hates this station and probably hates all of New England as well. Justin, do you have a vote who would, if I asked you the question, who is the worst sports analyst, of course, nationally, let's leave the local guys out of here or any WEI host, who, Justin Turpin across the glass producing the program tonight, who would get your vote for the worst sports analyst nationally right now?
Cowherd in a heartbeat.
Really?
Absolutely.
Is it because, like, he is this smarmy know-it-all, like, he thinks he likes to have fun, but he can never be corrected? Like, he does this where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong segment, and it's fine because he actually does admit he's wrong on, like, one small thing. But if you actually corrected him throughout his 4 hours, like, you could, I mean, the back half of this account, which used to do the Mike Francesa screw-ups, he used to, like, he actually pivoted for a few months and did the Cowherd stuff, and it was just nonstop screw-ups, talking, like, factually incorrect stuff and never admitting it. It was actually pretty funny. So, actually, let's play the Cowherd cut because I want to go through some of these cuts, and I'll tell you who my vote is after we play some of these, but it's not Kendrick Perkins for me. It's not Cowherd. It's not Nick Wright. It's not Skip Bayless. Those were the four options that were presented. But since, Justin, you mentioned that Colin Cowherd would get your vote, I pulled up this cut. This was from, I believe, back in February. He was actually talking about Boston Sports Radio and 98.5's afternoon show, Felger and Maz, versus EI's afternoon show, or Malone and Forey, of course, the show that I produce. So this was what Colin Cowherd said.
I used to listen to that station because I would get up and work out, and I would listen to The Hub. Felger and Maz were the guys. I love them in Boston. Yeah, that's the other station. They actually laughed occasionally. They weren't mad at the world every segment. So, yeah. So those guys are terrific.
That station likes to have fun. They said Roy Halladay deserved to die. I mean, like, that's the show we're talking about here, Justin. We know the track record with Felger and Maz. These clowns say anything and everything to get the reaction from the Boston sports community and fan base. And it works because they're so convicted in these takes sometimes, and it gets people to, you know, get, if you have a contrarian angle, it brings listeners. It's, you know, no matter how absurd it is. By the way, the Cowherd saying that that's the fun show in town, has he ever heard OMF? OMF likes to have fun and might have, like, these squirrel moments where Fourier, like, literally sees something on Twitter and we spend 30 minutes on whatever he saw, and it's an absolute squirrel moment, and the show's been derailed. Like, what an absolute joke that, I mean, I almost want to vote for Cowherd now from hearing that by saying, Felger and Maz, that's the show that likes to have fun and laugh. That is absolute BS, and anybody who is in this market knows it. I wouldn't vote for Kendrick Perkins in this one either, but I do absolutely love Kendrick Perkins. He is the NBA's Jermaine Wiggins. It is unbelievable, the English language and the way he's able to butcher it. He calls Brad Stevens, Brad Stevenson. He calls Steve Pagliuca, Steve Pagliuca. Wick Grouse. I mean, he butchers the English language and names he should know more so than anybody on television. But this was actually not a name that he was butchering. He couldn't say the word positionless. This was Kendrick Perkins, I think it was last year, talking about Ben Simmons, of course, a guy who is positionless, being 6'10 and all his versatility. This was Perk trying to actually enunciate, or I should say pronounce, the word positionless on First Take. Here it is.
He's 6'10, 250 pounds. He's a position, a position, a position. positionless player. He don't have a position.
That's what he should have said the first time. He doesn't have a position. You probably knew after the first positionless. Can I get that one more time, Justin? That was so good because you could tell after five or six times, he's like, well, what should I actually say so I don't actually use the word? Oh, he doesn't have a position. One more time. Let's hear it.
He's 6'10", 250 pounds. He's positionless player. He don't have a position.
Oh, man, I love Kendrick Perkins. He's so lovable, and every time Wiggy screws up the English language in the morning, it's so great. You're blaming him on his past regressions. No, Wiggy, it's transgressions. It's not the past regressions. It's the past transgression. So I love Perk. He would absolutely not get my vote. I do understand why people would not vote for him or would vote for him in this hypothetical poll, which the tweet, by the way, was by a nobody, and it got 6,000 likes and 5,000 quote tweets. So it wasn't like this was a nothing tweet. This was like one of the most viral tweets, and everybody had an opinion. Let's go to Nick Wright, who says some, you know, some off-the-wall things, but he does say some sensical things. And Nick Wright likes to use analysis and stats to back up his argument. But this one right here about Tom Brady, this was February last year when Tom Brady was likely going to free agency. And Nick Wright said, I don't see any team that he could join that he could win a Super Bowl with. He really did say there's not one team out there that Tom Brady could join that he could win a Super Bowl. This was Nick Wright last year.
Tom Brady is not winning a title as a starting NFL quarterback. It doesn't matter that there's not a team with enough talent around him to have a quarterback at age 43 who is going like this win a championship. So I'm not arguing the Chargers become Super Bowl contenders. I think they think they might. I think they'd be wrong. I also think they might have other motivating factors at play here.
See, I'm not sure if he's entirely wrong with that cut because at the very end, oh, the Chargers might think they are Super Bowl contenders with Tom. Well, that might not be true. That they might not have been Super Bowl contenders if Tom went to the Chargers. But the beginning of that statement saying there's not a team, and he's like stumbling over his words. Can I get that quote one more time at the very beginning, Justin? Because he goes, there's not a team. And then like he actually stutters when he's trying to get his take out, because I think Nick Wright even understands how absurd it is that he actually struggles to say it clearly. Here it is one more time.
Tom Brady is not winning a title as a starting NFL quarterback. It doesn't matter that there's not a team with enough talent
that's
around.
It right there. That is it right there. There's not a team. So it was absolutely wrong. He was wrong. In the very first opportunity that Tom had to prove him wrong, went to Tampa, won a Super Bowl, and shut everybody up. So that's Perk. That's Coward. Nick Wright. How about the next gas bag taker here? Skip Bayless. Let's go to Skip Bayless. This one's actually really funny. And I don't hate Skip Bayless. I understand the hate for Skip. And he is an absolute Tom Brady lover. Tom Brady is the system. Not really a Bill Belichick believer. He sides with Tom over Bill in that debate. But this was actually Skip Bayless talking about his list. He actually formulated a list here, Justin. This was Skip Bayless' list of players in the NBA, past and current guys, who are better than Steph Curry. This shouldn't be a lengthy list, by the way. If you know who Steph Curry is, you know he's a damn good basketball player. There might be 15, 20 players all time that I'd give you that are better than Steph Curry. But this was the list that Skip Bayless had prepared to go of guys better than Steph Curry.
Yeah. I've got Akeem, I've got Oscar, I got Dr. J. These are all better than Steph right here, right now. I've got David Robinson. You think not?
No.
Karl Malone,
no.
Second all-time leading scorer.
No.
Right? Oh, stop it.
No.
I got Bill Walton.
No.
Stop it.
No.
You have no idea what you're talking about. Do you remember Bill Walton?
I do.
He dominated pro basketball the way very
for
few
two
have
years.
Dominated. He got hurt.
That's my point.
Did he not dominate a finals, just take it over?
Skip.
He took it over. He was the runner.
That's so excellent. Bill Walton is on his list. I get David Robinson. I get Robinson, I should say. Karl Malone, I get. He was a stat compiler, number two scorer all time. These guys that he's throwing out aren't crazy, but when you throw out Bill freaking Walton as a better player than Steph Curry, that score, I have to laugh at you, and you just are the loser of the day when you say that. So it makes no sense. Let's keep going with the cut.
Away MVP, regular season finals. I haven't seen that from Steph yet. I haven't seen him take over in the biggest moments.
What?
I'm sorry. I still have Dirk in my second 10 and be the top 20. Did he not win Finals MVP?
He won Finals MVP. Yeah. Skip, he's not better than Steph.
Yeah, was Jerry West? I'll put Jerry West in there. He's better right now than Steph. I'm sorry. Yes, he is. He's just better. Well, you must have him in your top 10. You're discounting everybody out of my second 10.
No. Skip, I just told you I got him somewhere around 12 or 13.
Okay.
But I believe.
All right, yeah. I mean, we could also include Shannon Sharpe in this debate about the worst sports analyst. That guy's awful. I don't like Shannon that much. He does make me laugh. That tandem does make me laugh. And it's funny how the hatred for some of these people doesn't end up turning to a like comedic value like it does for me. I understand what these people are trying to do and create ratings. And First Take isn't the funnier morning show. It's probably Undisputed with Skip and Shannon. Those guys are hilarious. But if you're taking what any of these guys say with a grain of salt, or seriously, I should say, that's a mistake because this is all about entertainment. Let's go to the next one. This one's so absurd. I don't even know if we have to play this whole one. Chris Broussard was so bad as a journalist / analyst at ESPN, they didn't bring him back as an NBA insider. Like, he's not good at this. He was reporting multiple times that Kawhi Leonard was going to the Lakers. He's going to the Lakers. I think at one point he even said he's not even leaving Toronto. But he did say, my sources tell me, very good chance that he's going to the Lakers. He's joining LeBron. And, of course, what did he do? Not go to the Lakers. He went to the Clippers. So wrong town for him. Chris Broussard was actually talking about LeBron. And I don't remember what the context of this, of why they're actually talking about it. But he believes that LeBron James, if he ran for president, he would win. Dead serious. Here's the cut.
And I think he'd be a great candidate. I mean, as you said, now with President Trump, I mean, it's kind of opened it up where you can see a lot of people becoming president that you thought before you had to be like a lifelong or at least a long time politician.
Or in the military. You had military background. You were a general like Eisenhower or something like that. Yeah.
But he leans left. But he's very strong on family values, and he's an example of that. That would appeal to people on the right. He's a straight-up entrepreneur and a straight-up capitalist, which would appeal to people on both sides of the aisle. So,
it would.
And he's been, his life experience, a lot of people can relate to.
Who can relate to LeBron's life experience? How many of us have gone from rags to riches? That's the American dream and the story of going from, you know, he went to St. Vincent, St. Mary's, and not in Cleveland. He's from Akron. I was trying to say Athens at one point, but no, that's not where he's from. He's from Akron. So not the great part of Ohio. He's from Akron and didn't have the greatest resources, or I guess like the most, you know, didn't have the white fence and the 2.5 kids, you know, that type of American dream growing up. And he made his way, of course. And now he's one of the most recognizable faces in terms of sports and athletes on the planet. So it's not a crazy take, but he's so hated too. LeBron James is the most hated NBA player for 10, 15 years running, like pretty much since he deemed himself the chosen one and wore 23 and tried to basically do everything LeBron did. He was been the most hated NBA player for 10, 15 years. So that's actually really absurd to believe that if he ran that both sides of the aisle would vote for him, because that's just not true. The right side of the aisle absolutely hates LeBron James right now for his silence on China. So that's absurd. Last one, and this one actually got a lot of votes that I saw on Twitter. Rob Parker, friend of the show on OMF, and I actually see a text right here, 37937 from the 603. Rob Parker should be on this list. I agree. Rob Parker should be on this list. He would probably be the one that I would vote for because his anti-Tom Brady bias is so, so clear, and he doesn't hide it at all. This was actually a little. This was Rob Parker on FS1, The Odd Couple, his radio show with Chris Broussard, guy we were just talking about how he would take, in a clutch moment, he would take Eli Manning over Tom Brady.
If I'm in a Super Bowl situation and I need a clutch play at the end of the game or whatever, I would take Eli Manning over Tom Brady any day.
Oh,
it wouldn't even be close.
What?
Eli Manning any day over Tom Brady. Eli, when you look at his highlight reel, Adam Vinatieri's not in it. He's not a co-star in the video. It's about Eli making the big plays. And Eli
yet he
is
doesn't
as
have
clutch.
As many.
As
How
clutch.
Many has he got? Two?
All I know is he beat
Two?
Brady twice.
That's fine.
He beat Brady
twice.
We're
going to give you a Hall of Fame plaque for that.
Yep.
That's so absurd. Oh, well, because Adam Vinatieri had the clutch moment where he had the kick at the end. He was on Tom Brady's highlight reel. because they had seven Super Bowls now. It's unbelievable that we're going to say, oh, because Vinatieri had the clutch moment to seal off the Super Bowls, that's why two-time champion Eli Manning is greater than seven-time champion Tom Brady. Like, that's so absurd. So we'll take your calls at 617-779-7937 to open up the show with a laugh, laughing at some of these national sports analysts. We love doing that. I know the Boston Sports Radio P1s and anyone driving in their car, you love laughing at us or at 98.5 or anyone at ESPN. People love laughing at the media. That's like a human nature thing because, honestly, people that are listening in their car right now probably think they know more than me, which a lot of you do. Like, I'm not even going to lie about that. So it's everyone loves laughing at media, whether it's news, whether it's sports, and I want to do that to open up the show here. Coming up next, I want to get to a couple stories. I want to actually go big picture. What is the biggest Boston sports story in 2021 so far? So I'm going to go through the Celtics, the Bruins, the Red Sox, the Patriots, and kind of whittle it down to what is the biggest, and then I'll look forward to what is the biggest storyline for the second half of 2021. That's next on WEI Late Night with Tyler Devitt.
Boston sports never rests. This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
Tyler Devitt back here on WEI Late Night. I'm here until midnight. Give me a call, 617-779-7937. Not begging for your calls. It's only a call if you feel entitled to. Yeah, I'll get you on the air. The question I threw out there, though, was who is the worst sports analyst right now in sports? Not just Boston sports. We can kind of leave that out. There's a lot of candidates there. Nationally, who are we putting? Because the viral tweet that I'm kind of referencing to bring this topic up was Kendrick Perkins, Nick Wright, Skip Bayless, Colin Cowherd. Those are the four. Those are the four choices. And if you have anyone else, I'll take those calls too. 617-779-7937. My vote went to Rob Parker because his Tom Brady hatred is so over the top. It's really not even like entertaining anymore. It's so absurd that you can't even like really buy into it. Because at this point, if you're doing that, it's like, you know, it's jump the shark at this point, I guess. Like, he's so over the top with his hatred of Brady. You just heard in the last segment, he chose Eli Manning over Tom. Like, that's absurd. To the text line, let's see here. Let's go down. Love hearing Tyler on EI Late Night. Mike K from Twitch. What's up, Mike? Glad to have you listening. Yeah, I know. It's only EI Late Night. My bad. R.A. Tyler, screw Coward. LMFAO. I agree, because he thinks that my show, OMF, is not the fun show. The show that likes to have fun and laugh. That's just absolutely wrong. Smelger and Max make me want to gouge my ears out, and I wouldn't disagree in the short sample size that I've got to listen to that show. I don't understand it. Maz needs a freaking inhaler. Don't really know how to respond to that. Rob Parker should be on the list, and he was my vote. LeBron is very unlikable for many reasons, like you stated. Other than him, the most unlikable stars in the three main sports. Let's just go unlikable because we're kind of going negative, and I guess that's the way I'm feeling today. In the NHL, I'd go Tom Wilson with the Capitals. Everybody hates him. He's a dirty bastard. He's so ridiculous in terms of causing injuries to guys and going above and beyond and punching guys when their face is already on the ground or on the ice, I should say. So I'd say Tom Wilson. Major League Baseball, who is the most unlikable person in Major League Baseball? Ooh, I don't know.
Is it Harper?
Bryce Harper, I don't mind. I feel like he's almost like the Bryson DeChambeau of baseball, like disliked, but maybe like misunderstood. Like, I feel like he's like socially awkward. He's kind of had the spotlight like LeBron had all throughout high school. He's playing, you know, high school ball in Vegas and hitting bombs on top of the, you know, the highways out there. And so he's had the hype, so I just feel like he's just kind of weird. I don't know. Is he disliked? Do you not like Bryce Harper?
I just feel like I see him getting a lot of hate. In my personal opinion, I really don't like Garrett Richards, but that's me.
Yeah, here in Boston, it might be the most unlikable guy. If you asked anyone in the listening audience, it might be Garrett Richards right now. So let's just slide in Bryce Harper / Garrett Richards in there. For the NBA, it's definitely LeBron. The NFL? Ooh. Most unlikable person in the NFL. Is it Tom Brady? I know here it's absolutely not the choice at all, but I think nationally it is. I think because he's been so damn good as a winner, it's pissed off and ended so many seasons for fan bases that were filled with promise and hope. Like for me as a Jacksonville Jaguars fan, Justin, the Miles Jack wasn't down in the AFC Championship in 2017. I knew from the press box. I was there at Gillette Stadium. I could tell that Tom Brady was going to make this comeback. Every single media member that was shoulder to shoulder in that press box could see that the comeback coming. Because it was the timid and, you know, passive style of play after the Jaguars got the lead. And, of course, Brady and Belichick never play that way. They're aggressive from start to finish. And they had the right playmakers, the right play callers, and the right play style to engineer that comeback. So, yeah, I didn't like Brady that much until I moved here 2.5 years ago. And kind of just seeing and listening and hearing everything, all the interviews. I really only knew Brady because of, obviously, him as a player and then his Kirk and Callahan appearances, which didn't really paint him in, like, the greatest light because he hung up a few times on Kirk, which, rightfully so. I mean, at sometimes you want to hang up on Kirk Minahan because he has some questions that made Tom uncomfortable. I wouldn't say I would hang up, but I can understand why Tom did because he wasn't probably expecting that type of flavor. But whatever, you know, to each his own. So I would say probably nationally Tom Brady gets the vote. Who would it be another one? Would it be Roger Goodell on the text line? That's one of the votes. As far as if it's a non-player, absolutely Roger Goodell. Because, I mean, we play a drop all the time on OMF where he says, I believe at the end of the day, the NFL always does the right thing. How do you act? How do you believe that? How does anybody believe that Roger Goodell, how does Roger Goodell actually believe this? Nobody in the right mind believes the NFL does the right thing at the end of the day. Like, that's so ridiculous to me that he truly believes that. Some other texters, 37937, unlikable stars in sports, Aaron Rodgers from the NFL, Manny Machado. I'm seeing a bunch of Manny Machado ones. That's obviously, of course, due to the Dustin Pedroia play, which he referenced multiple times in Dustin Pedroia night as the reason for his, I guess, downfall in his career. That one play he kept referencing. That one play derailed, like I said, potential Hall of Fame career. So that was some reaction there from the text line. At 37937. I'm Tyler Devitt here. I'm here until midnight. Throw out the question, what is the biggest story in Boston sports for 2021 so far? And with the four teams, I kind of want to whittle them down, grab the number one story from each of those four teams, and then discuss which of those four stories is better. So with the Celtics, I went with Danny Ainge retiring and Brad Stevens leaving coaching because that was so surprising to me. I think that people that work with both those guys were a little bit surprised by both moves. As much as they tell you they weren't surprised by Danny retiring, I think walking away from a core that's Tatum and Brown is, Justin, you were absolutely surprised that morning to see that Ainge may walk away, he is walking away, and that Brad Stevens was taking a spot.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, to think that he goes from coach to GM, when do you ever see that, or president of basketball operations? You
rarely.
Never see such a thing. That surprised me.
It's rare, and it's almost like you see, when you usually see that, you see the coach adding on to his role as the president of basketball operations or in football, whatever it is, kind of making a dual role like Belichick currently has. So, I mean, Belichick's not the GM, but he is still the mastermind, the president of football operations, so to speak. So, also from the text line, Michael Vick is pretty hated. I mean, yes, I would vote for Michael Vick on there, but he's not a current NFL star or even a current NFL athlete, so I'd leave Michael Vick out of there. I mean, if you want to go old school, it's probably O.J. Simpson or really anyone with a criminal past, like Darren Sharper, like that scumbag, whatever, so... the biggest story with the Celtics so far is obviously that huge shakeup between the foundation and the leaders of the Boston Celtics. Ainge retiring, which looks like he may now go to Utah or is thinking about becoming an advisor with Utah Jazz. That's kind of a weird story because it seemed like he had those stars aligned before he was even leaving here in Boston. And now Brad Stevens was leaving coaching. And it sounded like that was, you know, in the works for months on end. So that's clearly the biggest story for the Celtics in the first half of 2021. For the New England Patriots, it's clearly the first-round quarterback, Mac Jones, and what's going to happen with Cam Newton, because the draft was just a few months ago, and we did see that they took a first-round quarterback, the fifth quarterback left in the class in Mac Jones, and now everyone's talking about, well, what do they do here in week number one, or even week number four when Brady comes to town? Is it going to be Mac? Is it going to be Cam? I think that it's honestly maybe one of the more 50-50 questions you could throw out to any Patriots fan is who's starting, and you're kind of going to get those two different answers. No one's throwing out Stidham. No one's throwing out Hoyer. There's not a legit competition for those guys. So what it is now is just those two, and it's Cam and it's Mac. And more often than not, and I'll try and find this graphic that I actually tweeted out here on OMF on WEI, the Twitter account, I believe it was 37 rookie quarterbacks from 2010 to 2020. 37 first-round quarterbacks have been taken. I believe 11 of them started in week one, 24 of them started by week number five, and only two didn't start at all the rookie season. And so, but if you look at that graphic, or if you just listen to me tell you about that graphic, it tells you one thing, or I guess two things. Mac Jones is not going the entire season sitting because you're wasting a first-round pick. Bill Belichick's not doing that. He just wasted a first-round pick on N'Keal Harry. He's not doing that with a quarterback sitting on the bench, especially when you have a guy like Cam Newton in front of him. So with Bill Belichick, you have a pretty key decision to make, and fast. And it's really only training camp and preseason to do this, because I think once you kind of have turned the keys over to Cam and you have that limited amount of time in practice during the week, then your hands are kind of tied until you really have to go, or you're forced by either bad play or an injury to turn it over to a rookie. So that's clearly the number one story for the Patriots. It's the 15th overall pick in Mac Jones, and what's going on with his playing time. So the biggest story in Boston sports so far for the Celtics, the front office shakeup, the Patriots, Mac Jones, first-round quarterback, and when does he play? And for the Red Sox, it's clearly the resurgence of the Red Sox. They're back. They're the hottest ticket in town. Alex Cora is back. That didn't happen this year. That was back in November 2020. So it seemed like a move that was really more of, hey, Alex, you know, here's the punishment. We're going to, you know, let you go for a year, but I put you in timeout, and you get a 12-month timeout, and Ron Renicki will take your spot. It'll be a disastrous performance. And when you come back in 12 months, we're going to start bringing some guys in, Hunter Renfro. We're going to take your bullpen and absolutely, you know, revitalize it and bring in guys that are not named Phillips Valdez and Kyle Hard and, you know, these awful, awful Zach Godley, who was pitching last year. I mean, these guys were getting, I mean, Chris Mazza, like guys who aren't even in the league anymore, didn't even deserve to be in the league last year. Those were guys that Ron Renicki was throwing out. So it was a disastrous Red Sox team last year. As I take a sip of the water, needed a break. Last year's team, 24-36, not entertaining at all, not likable at all. And now you have Alex Cora back, you have the bullpen back, the rotation's back, Chris Sale's coming back soon, and you have the team with the most wins in baseball as of a few days ago, and they always seem like an absolutely unstoppable force. Of course, until you face Shohei Ohtani and Jared Walsh, and you throw the meatballs middle in, and they hit them 440 feet into right center field, Angel Stadium. But that's another story. For the Boston Bruins, it seems like it's the last chance, because they lost this year to the New York Islanders, who made the run, of course, and they beat the Capitals in five and took care of that dirty bastard I was just talking about, Tom Wilson. And they advanced to the conference second round in a weird format. The Boston Bruins seem like a team who may have reached the end of their title window, because, like, I don't know how they get better from here. Tuukka Rask is going to be out until January with the torn labrum. I don't really know how much cap room they have with financial flexibility, but you lost to a team in the Islanders after winning the first two games, and then you lost the last three, or you won the first two or three, I should say, and then you lost the last three to lose the series in six. So with the Boston Bruins, I don't really sense that they're going to take a step and improve this year, but it would kind of seem foolish to blow things up, because you have Pasternak and you have Marchand telling Cam Neely that, like, we want to make one more run at this. We want to make one more run. We feel like we came up short. If a few plays go a different way against the Islanders, who ended up losing to the Lightning, it seems like this Bruins team felt like it underachieved here in the most recent postseason. But the Bruins, that their playoff flameout is the biggest story of the first half, and that's the biggest story for them. And going to the second half of the season, now it's Jeremy Swayman. And what happens with him? Will he get a shot, or will they sign the vet? So that is actually wrapping up the first half of this segment. And what is the biggest story in Boston sports so far? Celtics, the front office shakeup, and the coaching. The Bruins playoff flameout. The Patriots, Mac Jones, quarterback pick, and the Red Sox resurgence. I think if those are the four stories that I would personally go with in terms of the biggest story in Boston sports this year, it's got to be Mac Jones, right? Like, Justin, out of those four stories, maybe I would go with Danny Ainge retiring because he's been here for two decades, and then Brad Stevens literally leaving coaching. I don't know. I still think the Patriots are forever and always the number one thing here in Boston, and then you draft a quarterback from Alabama to push Cam Newton. What would you choose out of these four stories? You're not going to go with the Bruins or Red Sox, but I guess out of the Celtics and Patriots stories, which one would you choose?
I mean, like you just said, like, Boston, New England, it's a football town, it's a football state, or Massachusetts, rather. I mean, you have a potential successor to Tom Brady. You know, Cam Newton wasn't the guy when you signed him almost in July last year.
Yep.
They had no plan when Tom Brady left. And now you got a guy from Alabama and a potential successor. I think the Patriots and the quarterback situation have to be number one.
Yeah, so we'll go with the Patriots taking the fifth quarterback in the first round, number 15 overall, Mac Jones from Alabama. Let's say that is the biggest story in Boston sports so far for 2021. So golf clap for Mac Jones and the Patriots getting the top story in the Boston sports here at the halfway point of the calendar season, essentially, or the Boston sports season. So looking forward to the second half of the season. Obviously, the number one story with the Celtics is Bradley Beal coming to town. And it's a story that I'm not really interested in talking about too much because it seems like people are forgetting that, like, oh, well, the Olympics are coming up. So, you know, Beal and Tatum and Lillard and Durant, and all these guys, they can recruit and they can finally get together. They're in the hotels in Vegas and they're at the buffets, and then they're going to go to Tokyo and be there for 6 weeks and they can do all this recruiting. These guys can do it now. You've seen it with Kyrie and Durant at the All-Star game. They were in the hallway, which to this day they will deny that they were discussing their future plans. But you could see Kyrie holding up the three fingers for the three max slots. It was very obvious what's going on. So the recruiting is not just done at All-Star weekend or not just done at the Olympics. It's done throughout multiple years in advance and multiple meetings. You know, LeBron James getting the banana boat vacation with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh down in Miami. I mean, that's a legendary picture. But recruiting is not just a six-week thing done, you know, at the Olympics. So it's still the biggest story in terms of the second half of this 2021 sports season. It's Bradley Beal coming to town, and the question mark on that is, will it actually happen? And will the price tag be Jalen Brown? So last night on EI Late Night, I had John Corrales of Boston Sports Journal on with me, and I asked him about Damian Lillard, and he said, no, I didn't really like that at all because of the roster construction. So the follow-up question I had to him was, well, if you don't like Lillard because of his $50 million contract and how that affects roster construction, what do you think about Brad Beal and swapping Jalen for him? Brad Beal's the only guy who makes $40 million. So what do you think about that in terms of roster construction? Here's John Corrales.
That's a much tougher discussion. Again, like, Beal is a tremendous scorer, one of the best scorers in the league, maybe the best scorer in the league, depending on who you talk to. And, you know, he's a guy who can go out there and average 30 for you. That changes the dynamic a lot. But Jalen Brown averaged 26, or 24, I should say.
And played elite defense, too.
And played, yes. And so that's not to say that Beal won't come in and play some defense, because he's capable of playing defense. It's just, you know, he's tailed off because it's the Washington Wizards, and why are you going to, you know, bust your butt playing defense for the Wizards? That is, it's kind of, I don't want to say it's an even swap, but it's a pretty close, you know, to get Jalen Brown, who's a couple years younger, actually 4 years younger, would be a huge coup for the Wizards. So, again, I like to keep the guys that are here. This is why I'd be a terrible GM. I like who's here. I see the promise in the guys who are here.
So that was John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal. If you want to find out the entire, or I guess go listen to the entire appearance with John from Boston Sports Journal joining me, Tyler Devitt on EI Late Night last night. It was a 20-minute conversation, a lot of things we got to, and it was certainly enjoyed having him on the program. I'll definitely be reaching out to him soon. But he says he likes the guys we have here in terms of the Celtics roster, so it doesn't sound like he would pull the trigger on a Jalen Brown for Bradley Beal swap. I probably would at this point, because I think that if you do that, you're telling your fan base, we're not content with just running things back. And I think that there's a lot of people in this town that would not like to see, you know, the current group of the Celtics just run things back, because they're tired of it. They're tired of seeing Marcus Smart jack up bad threes, Jason Tatum and Jalen Brown play my turn basketball and not really make each other better. I mean, let's start calling some pick and rolls for your two best players. So that's certainly a big storyline going forward, is what happens with Brad Beal. Did they pull the trigger on that type of trade? For the Bruins going forward, the rest of the 2021 year, it's obviously the goaltender situation. I asked Brian DeFelice, like, oh, they're absolutely going to give Jeremy Swayman a chance now, right? Like, they threw him in the playoffs. When of course, Tuukka Rask didn't really have the energy, quote-unquote, was the phrase from, I guess, goalie Bob to Bruce Cassidy, and that was the reason that they gave Swayman a chance late in one of the games in the series. But he didn't really, you know, fall on his ass or, like, I guess, show up. He wasn't awful, and you hear all these rave reviews that they trust him as a guy in the future, so I don't know why you wouldn't give him the first shot at being the guy filling in for Tuukka Rask. And when Tuca gets back in January, then he becomes the guy. In an ideal world, Jeremy Swayman's playing so damn well in the first half of the season going into January when Tuca's 100% that it makes a tough decision for Bruce Cassidy and Cam Neely of what do you actually do? Is Swayman so damn good at that point that you can't bring back Tuca and disrupt what a good thing you have going on? It's actually similar kind of to the Patriots quarterback situation. And if Mac Jones is so damn good, you have to force the hand that you say, we can't pull this kid out, or we have to start this kid because he's so good that we would be a lesser team if we started the other guys. So that's obviously with the Bruins and Jeremy Swayman getting a start. Do they go out and sign a veteran, you know, like a, I don't even know who would be out there on this current cycle, but a guy who would be a vet on a one-year deal, really like almost like a six-month deal. You would tell him, you know, you get the first 3-4 months of the season, and then when Tuca gets back, it's his job. That's not going to be super attractive to a great goaltender, so just give it to Jeremy Swayman. Of course, with the Patriots, it's still tied to the Mac Jones pick, and their biggest storyline going forward is who starts week one. That's pretty clear. And almost more sexy to me, Justin, would be who starts week four, because I think as all Patriots fans, does anybody really want to see Tom Brady versus Cam Newton? I don't think that's a sexy storyline because I feel like that's going to be an ass-whooping. Like, it wouldn't be close. I'd probably set the line at, like, it'd be in Foxborough at Gillette. So I would set the line as an odds maker at, like, Patriots plus 9. But if Mac were playing, it might be down to 7. Like, they're not really close teams in terms of the odds or a potential spread. Like, it's not, it may end up being a blowout from the Bucks' perspective. But I think the best chance to win is with Mac Jones. And that would be a great storyline for national TV to kind of go with the old man versus the new man, the past versus the present, Brady versus Mac Jones. Like, that would be a marketing dream. And of course, if Bill Belichick can beat Tom Brady with the new guy, oh man, that'll be a fun Monday on the Greg Hill Show, of course, with Mac Jones potentially and Bill Belichick on the morning show. The last one here for the Red Sox going forward is not just, you know, the pennant race and whether they win the AL East and what's going on. It's all about Chris Sale, because if Chris Sale is healthy and he can take this to the next level, actually, I should say, if he is healthy and performs like the guy we know, he can take this team to the next level. So Alex Cora was actually on OMF today, and we asked him an obligatory, it's actually, I believe, in the contract for Alex, you must ask one question about Chris Sale, and that is it. I'm kidding about that, Justin. There's no contract that has a stipulation about what questions to ask for Alex Cora. But we did ask an important question about Chris Sale, and I believe it was Fitzy asked, hey, what's the update? What's going on with him?
Speaking of lefties, Alex, how's Chris Sale doing, and how long do you think until we might actually see him back on the mound starting a game?
Yeah, I mean, how long? I don't know. Obviously, we have a plan, and hopefully everything goes accordingly, and he'll be with us sooner rather than later. But we still have to be patient. He threw a bullpen 2 days ago. It was a 25 pitches bullpen, and now he's throwing on Saturday. It's 2 up and downs, and then after that, if everything goes well, he'll go on a rehab assignment. You know, all the feedback that we're getting from analytics to Chris himself, he's doing great. So, you know, he's trending up. We're excited about it. But at the same time, like I've been saying all along, I think, you know, for us, patience is the most important thing now. You know, we put ourselves in this position, and we just got to stick to the plan. And whenever he's back, he's going to contribute. You know, he's going to contribute to a team that is, you know, fighting to win the division, fighting for a playoff spot, and with a chance to make a run in October.
And it was actually cool to hear Alex Cora today. We asked him, I think, more in depth about pitching, and maybe it was the question about the trade deadline. And we asked him, you know, about the pitching and the deadline, and he goes, well, you know, we have two great pitchers we're going to add. And that's obviously, he's talking about Chris Sale and Tanner Houck, I believe. If those are the two guys that can come back and be on their A game, that totally transformed this team. And Justin, what that tells you is if those two guys can come back healthy, give you 5, 6, 7 good innings, that tells you your guy Garrett Richards probably Dunsky. He's out of the equation, and he wouldn't be pitching in the postseason anyway when you only have 4 guys in a rotation. So Garrett Richards would be Dunsky. You wouldn't see him anymore, which would be, I mean, that'd be the Christmas early Christmas gift for a lot of Red Sox fans. So no Garrett Richards,
which is also tough when he's making $10 million.
That's tough. That's tough. But then you also have to forget that, or remember that Ruzny Castillo was down in AAA making what, $75 million in his contract and not doing anything up here. So at least with Garrett Richards, he could fall into a good outing like he did against the A's last week which came out of nowhere. So, yeah, I was going to say with no Garrett Richards, if you add those two guys and Sale and Houck to the rotation, and then probably no Martin Perez. He's probably not throwing in the playoffs. So if you can add two great pitchers and kind of push your four and five guys out of the rotation now, that's a win altogether. So, I mean, with the Red Sox, that's their biggest story. It's Chris Sale. So the biggest storyline going forward for the second half for Boston sports, Celtics, it's all about Brad Beal. That's the big bro for the biggest star right now in Jason Tatum. That's his big bro, and he wants him. And you heard John Corrales kind of not willing to pull the trigger on that trade. He doesn't want it from the Boston Sports Journal. The Bruins, it's all about the goaltending situation, what happens with Jeremy Swayman, and who fills in for Tuukka Rask before he comes back from the injury. Patriots, it's obviously the quarterback situation in week one, week four, or throughout the entire season, and then with the Red Sox and Chris Sale. My vote for the biggest story in sports in Boston, just because they gave it to the Patriots in the first one, I'm going to leave it out here. I'm just going to go Celtics, Bruins, Red Sox. Oh, man. I honestly might go with Chris Sale. I feel like if you add Brad Beal to the Celtics, you're not giving them NBA Finals aspirations just by that move alone. If you get a Chris Sale who can throw 95-96 and be your ace and shut down, you know, obviously the saying is pitching beats good hitting in the playoffs, and that's always been true. If you can add a number one ace, which rarely ever happens at the Major League Baseball trade deadline, that makes you from an AL East contender to a World Series contender and potentially even the favorite. So that's what could happen in Boston sports here in the second half of the 2021 year. I'm Tyler Devitt. I'm here until midnight. We'll take a quick break, and we're back after this.
Who can sleep when there's so much Boston sports to talk about? This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
That's right. It is Late Night. Do some jumping jacks. Let's go. Wake it up. NBA review is putting people to sleep over here. It's ridiculous. The NBA has an awful review system, and they have no incentive to fix it, Justin, because the NBA gets their best ratings in the final 2 minutes of games, and right now it's the end of the third quarter with the Bucks leading by 10. I'm sorry, the Suns leading by 10 over the Bucks. It is 88-78 with 6.9 to go in the third. They're reviewing some sort of like Devin Booker drive into a shot, which I thought he was fouled. And now they gave the ball back to the Bucks, and now that's the end of the quarter with the Suns. That is a charge. That is 100% a charge. And they call it, that's not a charge? Oh, wow, that should be a charge. So anyways, yeah, I can't do play-by-play. It's actually against the rules, so let's actually stop doing that. So the Bucks are trailing by 10, and the NBA has a review system issue. It's so awful. Maybe the worst one is actually Major League Baseball. We saw it with the Jose Iglesias shortstop play, the double play with the Red Sox in the game, yesterday. And they looked at it. They saw that center field angle, which he didn't even drag his foot over the base. It was very obvious. But they'll show you the first base side, which it looked like it did because that is like almost confirmation bias for the umpires. But it was weird. Major League Baseball's review system stinks. The NBA stinks because it prolongs the games. Let's not act like the NFL's is perfect either. So, and the NHL's is potentially maybe one of the better ones. I don't even know about that. That's maybe another segment for another late night appearance here on EEI. So we were doing some talk about that last segment of the biggest story in Boston sports so far to this point, and kind of went through the top four with the Celtics, Bruins, Patriots, Red Sox, and then look forward to the second half of the season with those four teams and what is the biggest story going forward. I voted for Mac Jones as the biggest story in sports so far in Boston the first half of this year. For the second half of the year, I went with the Chris Sale resurgence, comeback, whatever you want to call it, because he could take the Red Sox from being a cute little team, like Glenn likes to call any team that doesn't have, you know, real title aspirations, to a team that would win the division, would likely win the AL, and then probably had a damn good chance at making a good run for the World Series. So that's my choices. We'll take your calls at 617-779-7937 to the text line. Clearly the most important thing in Boston sports this year was the champion. If you don't understand that he's the greatest athlete of all time, you are not a real American. And I will absolutely take this time in this moment here on WEI. It's currently 10:59, the time check brought to you by Andy Grush. The time check at 10:59 is the time that I am recognizing the greatness of Ric Flair. He is awesome, and I will appreciate at any moment what he's done for sports here in America. Also, I believe a 16-time champion, might actually have given him one. He might only be 15 times. Joey Chestnut. Joey Chestnut is one of America's great champions. Justin, are you a big hot dog eating contest guy? Did you take it in this year at all?
I'm not, but I mean, it's amazing. What did he have, 76 in a minute?
It's unbelievable. So actually, we're going to do this on the fly. Go into the OMF Daily folder and just search Chestnut. and it'll be a 2015 intro for Joey Chestnut in the hot dog eating contest. And I believe it's mixed with Babbo O'Reilly, The Who. So listen to it in preview before you play it, of course. But this is maybe the all-time sports intro. I'm including any sport, rugby, cricket, table tennis, Wimbledon, Stanley Cup Finals, the NBA Finals, anything like this. This is so incredible. And George Shea is an absolute mastermind. He's the president of Major League Eating. He's on Cameo. He has these insane intros, and he writes them all out, and he like times them out with music. It's incredible. So while you find that, let's go back to the text line. Biggest story: does Bloom re-sign Xander and Devers, young left side of the infield, but could cost us? He's got a small market purse mindset. I don't know if I can buy that just yet, because we have to give him a chance. Like the small market tag, that the moniker, or I guess the label that's being attached to Chaim Bloom, is really only because of the Tampa days, and those were the resources he had to work with. Like, we're already kind of saying, oh, well, it's small market Bloom, it's the Boston Rays, the Boston Rays. It's like, well, that, how does that make sense? Like, he's obviously operating in a different fashion. Of course he's going to be meticulous in his work and not overpaying guys who don't deserve the money. But the big question, I agree with you, Texter. Good point by a Texter here. On the Greg Hill Memorial text line, biggest story: does Bloom re-sign Xander and Devers? Now, Devers has got some years of arbitration. You can buy those out. But the bigger story, I think, is Xander Bogaerts, because there's actually a quote from Scott Boras to the Globe back in May that basically tells you he's opting out for next year. Like, gave the Red Sox and Dave Dombrowski at that time like a real hometown discount, 6 years, $120 million. They are not doing that this time around. That is absolutely not happening. He will. I actually believe the quote said that the reason we gave this deal is because me and Xander had, like, I'm paraphrasing here, had an agreement that he would opt out in 2022. So honestly, if I were a betting man, which I am not, wink, wink, if I'm a betting man, I would bet against Devers and Bogaerts being the left-hand side of your infield for a long-term purpose. That is after 2022, I'm saying, because I feel like with Boras, he is determined to get Bogaerts every single cent on the free agent market, and that shortstop class in 2022 is actually pretty damn good. Did you find the George Shea intro? This is so good. Justin, have you heard this yet?
I just listened to it, and it's great.
It is unbelievable. Listen to the poetry. He plays Babbo O'Reilly, and of course he saves the, I think at this point he was only the 8- or 9-time world champion, Joey Chestnut, but he is of course the draw at the Nathan's Hot Dog Contest in Coney Island, and he prepared for this all year. And so he fires out the Babbo O'Reilly track by The Who, and this is what it sounded like, the intro for Joey Chestnut. This is back in 2015. This is my all-time favorite sports intro. Here's George Shea.
Oh, there we go. What greater fortune have we in an endless universe of infinite matter and energy? We have been given consciousness to gaze upon it all and
Yeah, so we'll keep searching for that one. I think it's
check one more time.
Yeah, in the Almost Daily folder, it's labeled 2015 George Shea intro for Joey Chestnut. I think I might even say like The Who in there, so just search The Who. We'll find that eventually. Also, some other texts here to the text line 37937. Also, you're doing great so far, kid. Keep it up. Appreciate the nice words. Late to this conversation, but Tyreek Hill also very unlikable in the NFL. That is my vote. Tyreek Hill is my vote now because that guy is a total scumbag. He broke the arm. I might have to say allegedly. I think he's been proven in court about this. I believe, yeah, so that's a disgusting story. He was roughhousing with his kid and went over the line, and he's just not a likable person. It seems like he had some shady stuff with his then baby mama at that point, and I'm kind of hazing the details. So I don't really want to go into it and kind of say something that I would regret. But so you did find the George Shea thing. Is this the one that's mixed with Who?
Yeah, this is it.
Let's go. This is so good. Hit it. Oh, yeah.
Still be a monument to our existence, bleached by the sun perhaps and blunted by time, but everlasting, because this man represents all that is eternal in the human experience: the courage to stand for a nation when all others fail or turn away, the strength to recognize the value of freedom and to accept its cost no matter how great. Through the curtain of the aurora a comet blazes to herald his arrival, and his victories shall be transcribed into every language known to history, including Klingon. leading champion of the world, the number one eater in the world. I give you America itself, Gary Justice.
George Shea is, oh, I'm so fired up. I need George Shea to write me an intro for WEI Late Night. That is actually my mission, Justin Turpin. I will make it my mission. That guy, George Shea, is, oh, he's so electric. That was so good. It's so crazy that I am getting chills for a hot dog eating contest intro. I am such a freaking loser. This is so sad.
I'm with you. I'm getting chills here, too.
My name's Tyler Devitt. The poetry lines up so well. He hits the post right when the lyrics come in to Babbo O'Reilly. It's so damn good. Oh, man. So hopefully next time I'm in this time slot, maybe next week, I'll get the intro by George Shea to WEI Late Night. Taking your calls at 617-779-7937. Text line. I'm getting a bunch of texts in here at 37937. Reading them all night. I'm here until midnight here on EEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.